We were very thankful this morning to have everybody on the call. Got a large call today. We're very thankful that everyone is able to join us this morning. We want to welcome those who are not members of the Church of Christ to our worship services online. And we're so thankful that you've chosen to join us. We pray today that you would hear the gospel and believe it with all of your heart, repent of your sins, confess Jesus to be the Son of God, and be baptized, that your sins may be washed away and added to the true church, the only church in the Bible that is the Church of Christ. To those who visit who aren't members of the Church of Christ from other congregations, we're thankful you're able to join us on this morning. You're always welcome to attend our services. Continuing our study of the book of Revelation, Revelation's chapter number 15, is where we are now. Hopefully you've enjoyed this study thus far, and we've determined that there are a lot of things going on in the book of Revelation. We know that old serpent, the devil, is busy, and there are men who... we're in that number right now, the 666, and all the people will follow along with mankind, worshiping Satan, going along with vain worship in the name of Jesus. Jesus said in Matthew 15:8-9, "This people draw nigh unto me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men." And so that's where the problem is going to be for people on Judgment Day. Those who did not obey the gospel, they stayed with what their mama believed. They stayed with what their daddy believed, or what Reverend Joe said, or Father so-and-so said. That's just the bad breath of the dragon. Learned by him in Revelation chapter 13. Yeah, it looked like a lamb, but out of his voice came, out of his voice he spake as a dragon. Revelation 13 and then verses number 11. So we know that Satan and his angels are busy. They're out here. They're working. He's loosed. He's on earth. He's real. It's not a joke. We learn about that. And Paul warns us. He warns us about him. Talks about that devil. He warns us. And he warns Ephesians. Ephesians 6:10. He said, "Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. You may be able to stand against the wiles, the tricks of the devil." Devil, those wiles are like a trap. You put cheese on a trap and it'll catch a rat. That's what the devil do. He try to put the cheese on the trap. The Bible says in verse 12, "But we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places." Paul goes on to say, "Wherefore, considering that, take the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day." All you're doing is staying. Staying girded with the truth. Breastplate of righteousness on. Shod your feet with the preparation of gospel. You got to take the shield of faith so you can quench the darts of that evil one. You got to take the helmet of salvation, meaning you got to care about your own soul. You got to follow the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Once you obey God's Word, then you can pray. He said, after that, you just pray, because the devil ain't going to run. He's not going to run. He's going to be here. He's a, as Peter said, he's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He want to take us all down. Let's be real. So here we are. Here we are in chapter number 15. In this portion of Revelation, we're at the point where we start talking about judgment. And judgment, we know, has not come. So this is future tense. This is the last book of prophecy. So there are some things that have not happened in the book of Revelations. I'm thankful to God that it hasn't happened yet. He's given us more time. I'm sure you are too. So let's pick up in chapter 15, see what we can learn. It's a short chapter. See what we can learn about judgment. John said, "I saw," what you see, John, "another sign." He had seen a sign, a great wonder in heaven. Now he sees another sign in heaven. It was great. It was marvelous. What is it, John? Seven angels. I see something marvelous and great going on. Seven angels. Having seven last plagues. No, all these angels got plagues, but it's the last plagues. Last plagues. Seven last plagues. Seven angels. Seven last plagues. Oh, this is finally in. Here he comes. And the Bible says, and in them is filled with the wrath of God. Seven angels. Seven last plagues. These plagues got something in them. They filled up. Ain't no room for nothing else. Filled up with the wrath of God. That wrath. Wrath is greater than anger. Your anger can lead to wrath. You can be angry and not be in wrath. When you're in wrath, that's anger at its fullest state, carrying out acts. That's why you don't want your anger to turn to wrath. Because if you do, when it turns to wrath, you're going to hurt somebody. You hurt somebody because you can be angry and sin not. Let your anger turn to wrath, though. Wrath means something's going to come. Something's going to happen. There's going to be some actions taken when you look at that word. Important for us to know some serious getting ready to happen here. Passion. This is the anger. Heated. Like he's boiling up with it. God is fed up. He's fed up. You see it? Seven angels. Seven last plagues. What comes with these plagues is the wrath of God. Verse 2. John said, I saw, as it were, a sea of glass. Remember, this is all symbolism. Mingled with fire. Sea of glass. And them that had gotten the victory over the beast. There's my title right there. He sees something. He sees some folk who had victory over the beast. Over his image. Not only over his image, says he had victory over his mark and over the number of his name. They stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. Now John see something going on there in heaven. He's seven last plagues. God's fed up. This is judgment time. And the people who made it to heaven are those who have victory over the beast. We talked about that last week. We talked about the old Satan and how he used men. And the number of the man was 666. So what he's doing here is that those who got victory over the beast, you want that to be you. Now you got to have victory over him, over his image, anything that look like him, over his mark, over the number, the victory of the number of his name. John saw some folk who had won the victory standing on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. In this sea, emblem of the sea is the emblem of purity. Emblem of purity. And judgment stands the victorious children of God with the Lamb. Remember last week we talked about you saw the Lamb over there. Go back and listen to that. Chapter 14, 13. John stood. The Lamb stood on Mount Zion. I talked about that last week. He stood on Mount Zion. Being the church. The church. The New Jerusalem. Now we have it here. Where these are the victorious. The ones who obey God. Standing there. As John sees a sea of glass mixed with fire. In Isaiah, days of Isaiah, Zion was dirty, filthy. Isaiah said in Isaiah 4:2, in that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent, comely for them that are escaped of Israel. Shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion, he that remaineth in Jerusalem, shall be called holy. Everyone that is written among the living in Jerusalem, when the Lord hath washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion, hath purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof by the spirit of judgment, by the spirit of burning, the Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion, upon his assemblies, a cloud, smoke by day, shining of a flaming fire by night, for upon all the glory shall be a defense. There shall be a tabernacle for shadow in the daytime from the heat, a place of refuge for the covert, and from storm and from rain. So this is just prophecy there, looking like, just like what he's seeing here, what's going on. Some things happening at Mount Zion. Some things happened. We just left that chapter. The holy Jerusalem and new Jerusalem. Some victorious people there. And they sing, verse 3. They sing a song. They sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. Notice that. The song of Moses and who's the servant of God. Y'all remember Moses. And then there's another song. Song of the Lamb, that's Jesus. They've saying, great and marvelous are their works. Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways. Thou King of saints, who shall not fear thee? O Lord, glorify thy name, for thou art holy. All nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made known. Judgments are made known to these people. How was judgment made known? Well, John 12:48, the Bible said, he that rejected me, Jesus said, and receiving not my word, had one that judged him. The words I have spoken, same will judge you in the last day. Folk that don't obey the word of God, they ain't going to get to sing this song. You're not going to get to sing this song. You know, I'm starting to believe people who don't obey the Bible, don't believe the Bible. So many people say, well, Brother Brooks, I see what you're saying. I read that too, but I just can't understand it. I just don't know. I just can't see it. That's what a lot of people say. I can't see it. Now you read it. You read it and believe it. You don't see nothing. You read it and believe it. A blind man can hear. The Bible says faith comes by hearing. You hear what you want to hear. Jesus said, he that believeth is baptized shall be saved. So I say, well, I hear that, but you don't believe that because you ain't believed yet enough to be baptized. It amazes me how many people question something so simple. Jesus said, he that believeth is baptized shall be saved. That's what he said in Mark 16:15. But anyway, when people don't want to hear, Jesus, every man had an ear to hear. But people set up their two ears, can't hear one church, can't hear baptism, can't hear taking the Lord's Supper every Sunday. All they hear is what mama did. When my mama was this, my daddy was the preacher, my mama was the first lady, my mama was the urchin. That don't make what she done right. Don't make what your daddy done right. But you got to believe in the Bible. You want to come into the house of God. We have a Father. And God, the Father, sent his only Son. And there ain't nobody's going to his house that didn't obey him. Hebrews 5:8, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Jesus even had to obey. He had to obey the will of his Father. And his Father's will was for him to go and be killed on Calvary. Hung up there with nails in his hands and his feet. Jesus had to obey, and so do we. So we can't sing this song. We can't sing this song. See, when Israel was delivered from Egyptian bondage, God told Pharaoh, let my people go. He was dealing with it. Sent them plagues on them. Get rid of my people. Let them go. And when the children of Israel got to the Red Sea, y'all know the story. Moses told them to stand still. See the salvation of the Lord. And that water parted. Red Sea stood up. Somebody said it congealed, like it froze. They walked across on dry land. That's in your Bible. Go read it. Start in Genesis and read it. Read all the Old Testament. You run into it. It's back there. You know the story. Yeah, then Pharaoh and his army came in there. That water crushed them. God's still taking care of Satan with water. He was taking care of Pharaoh back there with water. He's dealing with him today with water. Water baptism. Water baptism. Moses was a type of Christ. Deliverance. He delivered him across the Red Sea. Red Sea type of baptism. And into the wilderness, to the world they had to live. When they got on the other side of the Red Sea, when they knew they were free, we're in bondage of sin. Yeah, that's like we're slaves to sin, Romans chapter 6. But you got to look at this. When you're talking about sin being bondage, and in bondage is trapped by sin, there's a deliverer coming, as it was with Moses. We have a deliverance. Moses told them. Moses told them there was going to be another one coming. To him shall you hear in all things. That's what the Bible say. Romans chapter 2 and verse 28. Bible said, for he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is inward, that makes us the same as the children of Israel. Circumcision, that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter. Whose praise is not of men, but of God. In Deuteronomy 18:15, Moses said, the Lord that God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thy brethren, liken unto me, unto him you hearken. In Acts chapter 7 and verse 30, the Bible says, and when 40 years were expired, there appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord in the flame of a fire, in a bush. When Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight. As he drew near to behold it, the voice of the Lord came unto him, saying, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses trembled, and durst not behold. The Bible said, then said the Lord to him, put off your shoe from that feet. The place where thou standest is holy ground. He said, I have seen the affliction of my people, which is in Egypt. I've heard their groanings. I've come down to deliver them. Luke's recording this. Stephen's preaching. Now come down. I will send thee into Egypt. Notice verse 35. Moses, whom they refused, saying, who made thee a ruler and judge? Same did God send to be a ruler and deliverer by the hand of the angel, which appeared to him in the bush. Then he said, he brought them out. After that, he had showed wonders and signs in the lands of Egypt. I'm talking about all the plagues. And in the Red Sea, he showed them who he was. And in the wilderness, for 40 years, God was there. This is that Moses. This is, he preaching now. He's talking this first century, the book of Acts. He reminded them of how God delivered the Egyptians, the Israelites from Egyptian bondage. Now he says, this is that Moses, talking about Jesus, who said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brother, like unto me, him shall you hear. So here he is. He was telling them, this is how God delivered the Egyptians, the Israelites from Egyptian bondage, and God sent another one. And Moses said, he's going to be like unto me. That's the one you got to hear. So that's what's going on in Acts 7. He's preaching that Jesus, that type of Moses. He's delivered, talking about Jesus. He's delivered. He's coming to deliver him. He came to deliver us. And so we are thankful. We can have a song. Now, spiritual Israel had a song when Moses delivered them. And now, the heavenly Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem, heavenly singing, the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb. Now we got two songs. There they go, both Moses and the one that was going to come, like Moses, talking about Jesus. They said, that, what are they singing? They said, great and marvelous are thy works. Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thy King of saints. Who shall now fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou art holy, only art holy. For all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. Question this morning, there's somebody on here who need to get ready to sing this song. You ain't ready if you haven't obeyed the gospel. You have not been. We are the spiritual Israel. We are the spiritual Jews. That's who we are. Yeah, that's what we're talking about. We're the spiritual Israel. Talked about that last week. The New Jerusalem. Church of the firstborn. That's us. Now we see. Now we see the people is going to make, that are victorious, will be those who were cleaned up, washed in the blood of the Lamb, victorious over Satan. Only those people that's going to be saved. Only those people can sing this song. I don't know about you, but I want to be able to sing my song. I want to be able to sing that song. The only way you're going to be able to sing that song is you got to remember the beast. You got to overcome that. Overcome his image. You don't want to look like the beast. You don't want to act like the beast. You don't want to follow the beast. These people overcame. They overcame that beast. They did not follow doctrines, commandments, and meaning. Amen. That's what I'm saying. The problem is today, what reason so many people are going to be lost? It's because they're following the beast, Satan. Yeah, Satan, he's busy. He's using men with robes. Look like a lamb. It look like a lamb that's harmless. The two rams, that's the Bible describing, looks like a lamb with two horns. But out of his mouth, it sounds like a dragon. Look innocent until they open their mouth. That's the way many of these preachers are today. They look innocent, like they care. Walk around with robes on, collars around their neck, wearing things that make them look holy, look outwardly. God don't look on no outward appearance. 1 Samuel 16 and verse 7. The Lord looks at the heart. That's what we need to remember that. You can't look at a man and say he's holy. That's what they got. The world got them believing. A man walk around with a big white robe on, a big cross holding, walking down the street. Folk about to kill each other trying to get to him. I'm talking about the Pope. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah, not just him. We got all of them out there. You got the same thing going on in all the denominations of churches. Why the man in the pulpit got to have big chairs? Why he got to have robes on? Why he got to have a big cross around his neck? To make him the man of God. No, that don't make him the man of God. 2 Timothy 3:16. The Bible says all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Proper for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good work. The man of God preached the word. He'd be instant in season, out of season, reproving, rebuking, and exhorting with all long suffering and doctrine. The men of God speak what the Bible speaks, and is silent what the Bible is silent. The Bible says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracle of God. If any man minister, let him do it the ability of God given it. That God in all things may glory be glorified. You know, God makes sure his man, like Paul and Peter now, preaching the word, stood flat-footed and preached the truth. Amen. Don't have to have no road more. You stand up there and preach the truth. Don't have to have no special parking spot. Just preach the truth. That's what makes us special. What makes us have beautiful feet, Romans chapter 10, is the message I carry, not my shoes I wear. What makes my feet beautiful? I'm a gospel preacher. I'm a preacher of the word of God, man of God, that deliver his word. So then you got those out there, false apostles, false prophets out there, misleading people. Yeah, misleading people. That's what they're doing, misleading. That's why Jesus said, in vain they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. Yeah, there's a lot of false prophets out there, y'all. A lot of false teachers. You got to beware. You got to beware of them. That's what God, that's the one. You got the bad breath of the dragon. Bad breath. When man tell you, any church would do. That's bad breath. He got bad breath. Yeah, I just leave it like that. Anybody tell you baptism is not essential? Bad breath. That's bad breath. That's the breath of the dragon. Anybody telling you you can pray when God said, holy, you can pray when God said, he hear not a sinner's prayer? That's bad breath. Franklin Graham got bad breath. Yeah, he do. Yeah, he do. He got bad breath. Sure do. Tell him I said it. Bad breath. Preaching false doctrine. Telling people to accept Jesus as personal Savior. Send him to me, I'll tell him you got bad breath. This kind of breath, the mouthwash, they don't clean that up. You gotta obey God to get that cleaned up. Amen. You gotta obey God and obey him. Yeah. So that's what's going on here. These people have a song in their heart. But they didn't obey the beast. They overcame the beast, overcame his image. You know, devil looked like a devil sometimes. Overcame his image, overcame what he was taught, who he was using. That's what that is, Church of Christ. We better remember. We better remember. We're going to be in trouble if we get caught up in doctrine and commandments of men. Don't tell them how to hide. You don't never follow me. You don't just follow me. You make sure what I'm teaching you is according to the scripture. You don't get caught up in obeying. You get caught up on God. Amen. I wish I was at church, Bill. I could hear Brother Hammond say, boy, 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 something. Somebody be saying something. Truth is the truth. It don't matter who's speaking. The truth is the truth. I'm telling the truth about this. Verse 5. And after that I looked. John said, after that I saw. He listened to people sing. And he looked. He said, behold. Wow. Listen, I see something. What do you see? What do you see, John? The temple of the tabernacle of the testimony. The temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was open. So the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony is in heaven. He said, look at it, it's open. The tabernacle of the testimony was the Holy of Holies. Only the high priest, Christ, could make the intercession for the people. Yeah. He made intercessions. And he's still making intercessions. This is why we know judgment has not come. He's making intercession for us right now. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. What shall we then say these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemns it? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God. Notice what he's doing now. He's making intercessions for us. He's making intercessions for us. That's what he's doing now, right now. Still on that throne, on the right hand of God, making intercessions for the people. Now, you look at this. After that, I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was open. And this is an indication that intercessions are over. Then coming, in 1 Corinthians 15, 24, the Bible says, then coming the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall put down all rule and all authority and power. Now, right now, brothers, because judgment has not started, Christ is still reigning as the high priest, making intercessions on our behalf, But when judgment starts, he gonna put down all rule and all authority, and everything now is left in the hand of God. Now, when you think about that, there's gonna be this wrath gonna come down. These seven plagues, remember? Out and the seven angels, verse 6, came out of the temple. Notice what he got. It's time. You see, they coming out of the temple. It's over. Having the seven plagues, clothed in pure white linen, having their breasts girded with golden girdles. You have the cities, they coming out, they bring these plagues out. Here come the seven angels out of the temple. It's over. Seven plagues getting ready to get, turn loose the plagues. Come out of the temple. They're clothed to represent purity and splendor. God is going to do judgment. He's going to take care of judgment, y'all. Might as well get ready. You want to stand before him. Every knee going to bow. Every mouth going to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You better do it now. You better do it while you're still living. Amen. People are getting out of here. People are dying in the groves. They got truckloads of folk downtown, somewhere near one of the hospitals. 50 bodies in each truck. Folk dying every day, all around us. God has plastered death all over the world. Everybody see death. Death everywhere, all over the world. Five folk died last week in my hometown. Little hill people. Five gone. How many gone here? Thousands of people dying. We ain't getting the point. You're saying, Brother Brooks, is this the wrath of God? This ain't judgment. People been dying. They've been dying. But he sure is getting our attention with this COVID. COVID-19. And don't listen to no man trying to tell you what is a prediction or this God prophesied. They don't know what they're talking about. You don't just listen to man. Man can lie on both sides of his mouth. So, yeah, there ain't nothing bad breath. You just got to let it happen. Whatever's happening. It's happening because God wanted it to happen. He's allowing it to happen. He's allowing it to happen. That's the way I see it. God can stop a hurricane. He can stop a tornado. He can stop God with COVID-19 when he's ready. He can stop it. He's God. Of course he can. Of course he can. Sure he can. Well, you know he can. He could. Some of us trying to get our lives right now, though. Some folks. Then got that COVID and made their mind up. Man, I made it through it. I'm going to live right now. I'm gonna be closer to the Lord. See, sometimes God has to bring some pain in your life before you start trying to change some things. Yeah. Bring some pain. Allow it to happen. Now, here come these seven last plagues. I understand something now. This is not going to be a fun scene when God start taking on judgment. Listen to the Bible now. One of the four beasts, this living creature, angel, gave unto the seven angels seven vials full of the wrath of God. Now, these are full. Verse 7. And the wrath of God, who liveth forever and ever. Now, this is one of those beasts. This is not Satan. He was mentioned. These beasts were mentioned back in Revelation 4. Remember that? If you go back there, let's go there. Revelation 4, verse 6. This is the beast now. This is the one coming out. And these are one of the servants here of God. And behold, Revelation 4, 6. And behold, the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne, round about the throne, were four beasts. Full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion. Second beast like a calf. Third beast had the face of a man. Fourth beast was like a flying angel. And the four beasts each had each of them six wings about him. And they were full of eyes, and they rest not day and night. Say, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts gave glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne who liveth forever and ever. So that these are the ones that's bringing out these seven vials to one of the four beasts he's talking about here gave unto the seven angels. One of these angels and these other angels, 7 vials full of the wrath of God. Now, you can see here one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels 7 vials full of the wrath of God. This beast gives these seven angels this vessel, this vial. Now, note, it's full of the wrath of God. There is no room for mercy. There's no room for grace. It's full of wrath. What are you saying, Brother Brooks? Think about it. If the cup is full, you can't get nothing else in it. And so it's full of wrath. There'll be no mercy on their judgment. That's what people are hoping for. That's what the good people are hoping for. But you know, God gonna let good people be lost. But he let his son die on the cross to save these good people. These good people chose not to obey him. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 7:21, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord. These people believed in Jesus here. They called him Lord. Shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that knew the will of my Father. He said, many were saying to me that day, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? They did stuff in the name of Jesus. Honest people. Sincere. Doing it in the name of Jesus. Cast out devils in your name. Done many wonderful works. Good people. Honest, sincere. But notice this. Verse 23. And he said, I will profess unto them. I never knew you. Never had the relationship. You were workers of iniquity. What does that mean? You obey God the way you made up your own way to obey God. You got people like that all the time. Well, the Lord know my heart, and I'm not that bad of a person. Nobody said nothing about you being that bad of a person. What we're saying is that what he's saying is, it's too late for mercy. It's too late. Too late. When ain't no room, when God's wrath comes, it's too late for mercy. You didn't obey. And the reason you didn't obey, because you didn't believe it. I mean, I've been talking to Brother Stroud about that. And a lot of times, Brother, you read somebody, someone says, well, there's one body, one church. You say, well, I got to go back and study that. No, you study it, ain't going to help. Believe it. You can start believing. You better start believing. Yeah, because on the day of judgment, ain't going to be no mercy. Was there any mercy there? When Jesus said that he was talking to people, he was talking to him. Matthew 7. Yeah, he was talking to people. No folk going to be shocked. They're going to be shocked. Some of you listen to me today. The minute you done heard enough, you couldn't obey, couldn't done obey God. You didn't want to obey it. You didn't believe it. You believe you're good. You believe you're going to go to heaven because you feed some homeless people. You believe because you stopped drinking. You used to drink. You think because you stopped smoking. You used to smoke. Because you stopped smoking weed. You think because you done got your little life together. I don't do bad no more. That's not going to make you. You're not gonna make it happen. You're gonna have to obey God. Yeah, you got to do it. You got to do what the way He said it. I'm gonna tell you how He said it. Some people are gonna be lost because they follow the commandments of men. Jesus said that in verse 7, Matthew 7, excuse me, Mark 7, rather. He answered and said unto them, "Well, Isaiah prophesied you hypocrites, he called, as it written, the people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." That's them, Jesus. People call him Lord, Lord, Lord Jesus. And people do that all the time. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Yeah, look at him. How be it in vain, Jesus said, they do worship me. Now, Jesus don't deny they worshiping him. He said, but in vain, it's no good. Why, what's wrong with it? Teach it for doctrine, the commandments of men. What's wrong? That is that bad breath. You follow a preacher who will tell you to call him reverend, that's a stinky breath preacher. That's the breath of the dragon right there. A man that'll tell you to call him Father, the breath of the dragon. If a man will tell you you can attend any church of your choice, that's the dragon's breath. Yeah, you can't follow no man-made doctrine and call yourself being saved. Ah. You're saved by being good. You got to be obedient. You got to do it God's way. In verse 8, he said, for laying aside the commandment of God, you hold your tradition. Of me. That's what some folk gonna do. Well, my daddy was this, or my mom was that. I had my cousin. One time she told me, said, my mama died a Baptist, I'm gonna die a Baptist. You died a Baptist. That don't mean you died saved. That's not a good thing to say. You're going to die. Die saved. Don't be like the rich man in Luke chapter 16. He wanted them, at that time, he was a Lord, send Lazarus to dip the tip his finger in some water. He wanted water then, but when he was living, he didn't want no water baptism. Send him down there to tell my family. Abraham asked Abraham for mercy. Too late for mercy after you die. Too late for mercy. He said, your family had the books that Abraham told the rich man. Luke 16. Now, well, I'm just telling you the story. You can go read it. But the rich man, he was burning. Right after he died, he was already tormented. Hadn't even gone to judgment yet. And no mercy. No mercy after death. It's too late. Too late to cry. Don't cry. Too late to cry. Too late. Too late. Too late for mercy. Too late to try to save your family. He said, if somebody come back from dead, go tell them. He said, no, they got Moses and the prophet. They got the Bible just like you had it, but you didn't believe it. Some of you on this phone don't believe it. Some of y'all believe you can miss worship. Some of you church Christ folk believe you don't have to go to worship. You don't have to give right. Okay. Okay. I'm talking about members of the church of Christ. They're non-members. And just because you're a member of church Christ don't mean you're saved. No, sir, no, ma'am. Don't mean you're saved, shacking, laying up, doing things, you know, not according to God's will. You can't die like that. If you die like that, you're going to die in your sin. Jesus said in John 8, 21, 24. Die in your sin where I am. You can't come. That's what the Lord said. Yeah, that's right. So it applies to church Christ, folks. Just in case might be somebody on here listening today. And you know a member of Church of Christ, he or she trying to get you to become a member of Church of Christ, and they laying up with you. It's hard for you to believe because you see how they living. Well, don't you think they're going to get away with that? Because those people, their blood is going to be on their shoulders. That same woman you shacking with, if she's a member of Church of Christ, and she's trying to get you to become a member of Church of Christ, and that blood is on her shoulder, then she caused you to be lost too. Now, both of you lost. Two lost folk in the same bed. Yeah. Two lost people. So I warn the members of the church. Just remember, just keep it real. Ain't no sense in trying to fake and shake. If you know you ain't living right, you ought to know. You know you when you're not living right. But remember this, that blood is going to be on your shoulder. Blood is going to be on your shoulder. Anytime we call a person, the fall, that blood is on our shoulder. It could be your family member, your mom, or dad, or sister, brother. They know you cussing at home. You come to church every Sunday. You up there with the church crying. Y'all think y'all the only ones saved. And you go back home, you cussing and drinking with them. They ain't going to listen to you. Why? But do you understand this? Bible says in Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 17, Son of man, I made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word in my mouth. Give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, they shall surely die. And thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life. That same wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood I will require at your hand. That's what God told him. Right there. That's in your Bible. Go back there and read it. Go back there and read it. Yeah, so I'm talking to those who are not members of Church Christ. The reason you're not a member of Church Christ is because you don't believe in the Bible. You got a belief issue. And those who are in the Church Christ, you know the truth. You're just not living right. You're just not living right. So you ain't no. You might as well get ready. The vials are full of wrath. No room. I think some people think, okay, man, you know, God get there and God gonna change his mind. You know, you did pretty good. Come on in. They're not gonna work like that. God would be a respected person. He cannot lie. He cannot. It's the Bible says impossible for God to lie. He said it. You die in your sins, you can't come up here. Now he's not gonna get up there and change. Yeah, in verse 8 of Revelation 15, I've got to close. The temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God. Sound like Isaiah's account. And no man, and from his power, and no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. Brothers, sisters, friends, ladies and gentlemen, nobody, no man, not even Jesus, can stop judgment. Angels can't stop it. Because nothing would stop the complete wrath of God from being poured out on judgment. Well, the Hebrew writer said it like that. Maybe you get a little better. Hebrew writer said this, Hebrews 10:22, he said, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from the evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. So you got to be cleaned up. You better stay with the, you better not waver from the true faith, which is the word of God. And then he said, Hebrew writer said, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. See, we're going to be doing good for each other right about now in the church. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. We see, there's that command to assemble together. Now, we now want to say this, because some folks say, we forsaken. We're not forsaken the assembly. We're prevented by disease. Prevented. So like we prevented if a category 5 hurricane coming in. It's not a forsaken. We just can't get there because we're prevented by this thing here is the act of God. A man can't just release the disease, go all over the world on his own. God allowed it to happen. Now we're assembling online. Thank God we have a way to hear. But when we come back together, he said now, so not forsaking the assembly ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully, now here's the decision to keep on sinning after we've received the knowledge of the truth. These are the folk who that obeyed, but they chose to keep willfully sinning. There remained no more sacrifice. The wrath, the vial is full. There's no more sacrifice for sin. But here's what you got. A certain fearful looking for judgment, a fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversary. He that despises Moses' law, die without mercy under two or three witnesses. And then he says, the Hebrew writer says, Hebrews 10:29, if they die without mercy under Moses' law, if they picked up a stick on the Sabbath day, they stoned them. He said, now, how much more are we going to deserve much punishment? Suppose ye shall he that thought worthy, who had trodden underfoot the Son of God, had counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified, unholy thing, have done despite the spirit of the grace. Their spirit gave us the word. Jesus gave his life. He shed his blood. That blood purchased the church. That blood washed away your sins. God had to saw the travail, Isaiah 53, of his son. He led as a sheep to the slaughter before his shearers dumb. They beat him with a whip. They hung him on an old rugged cross. He had nails in his hands and his feet. And none of that happened in the Old Testament. If they broke God's law and the old law, he stoned them. Then what y'all think we deserve? What does mankind deserve today after Jesus went through 6 long hours on the cross? They silenced the lamb in Jerusalem. He was on the cross. He went up there for us. It was our sins he went to cross. He had no sin. He knew no sin. He became sin for us. God is saying, you think, since y'all thought I was tough under the old law, what you think going to happen now that I've sent my son the way they did him? They treated him cruel. People said, crucify him, crucify him. Beat him with a whip. God, the Father's talking now. Hebrew writer saying, you acted like that blood wasn't worthy. I mean, why haven't you been washed in the blood? Why wouldn't you baptized? Why wouldn't you in the blood purchased church? Acts 20:28, Revelation 1:5. Why wouldn't you drink in the blood? Jesus said, this you do in remembrance of me. That's what he told them. This is when we drink the communion, we're doing it as a memorial service every Sunday. Acts 20, verse 7, upon the first day of the week, the disciples, they came together to keep that memorial. Yeah. I mean, Jesus said, do what you do in remembrance of me. And so you on this call today, and you visit with us, you're not taking the Lord's Supper every Sunday, the wrath. You're going to get the wrath. The wrath is full. There ain't going to be no mercy that day. You should have been drinking that blood. That's your fault. You didn't believe it. You didn't believe it. You didn't believe it. That's the problem with unbelievers. They ain't no way you unbeliever gonna make it to heaven. They don't believe. They're never gonna do what the Spirit said. So they're gonna despite the Spirit of grace. But the Hebrew writer says, let me just remind you that God said, okay, that's the way you feel. You don't want. You're not gonna do what's in the Scripture. You're not gonna follow the Spirit. You're gonna despite the Spirit of grace. Okay. For we know him that said, vengeance belongs to me. Y'all remember that? I will repent, recompense, said the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. There it is right there. And it is a fearful thing, verse 31. Fall into the hands of the living God. But we don't want nothing to do with judgment. But you got to go there. All of us got to go. I want to hear him say, well, no, no. I'm not going for none of the other stuff. I don't want that other stuff. I don't want to be his enemy. I don't want him to think I trampled underfoot his blood, his son. I count his blood, his son's blood as a covenant agreement. He's worthy. He sanctified us. He was holy. And the Spirit gave us the information. That's the mindset of a person who's going to go to heaven. They just forget about what everybody else is saying and do what the Lord said do. Just so you know, ain't nothing going to stop judgment. That's the main point of this lesson. And then they are expecting, at this point, they're experiencing the smoke of God's wrath. The Bible says on that day, people will say, listen to Revelation 6, in verse 16, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, hide us from the face of him that's sitting on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come. Who shall be able to stand? In chapter 16, we're going to see all seven vials of his wrath emptied and poured out on the earth. So what are you saying this morning? What I'm saying this morning is this is an announcement that judgment, this is things going to happen when judgment started. I'm saying this morning it hasn't happened yet, but it's going to happen. It's going to happen. And I saw, John said, I saw these people. They had victory over the beast, over the image, over the mark, over the number. These people are the same people that we find in Revelation chapter 7. In Revelation chapter 7 and verse 14. If you turn there in my closing, Revelation chapter 7. John was telling us there. He's seen another number that no man could number. Have they seen 144,000 different tribes? He sees another number, no man number. And so the elder asked him, who are these? One of the elders there asked John, who are these that are arrayed in white robes? Verse 13, Revelation 7:13. Whence come they? He said, John said, sir, he said, sir, you know who they are. Thou knowest. He said to me, John said, he said to me, these are they that came out of that great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. That's them. That's them people who were victorious over the beast, the devil, the image of the devil, the mark of the devil, and the number of a man, 666. Who gonna be before the throne of God? Those who've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. So those are the people that's gonna have victory. Now, are you gonna have victory over the beast? You say, I'm gonna have victory, brother. I wanna have victory. I've been going through a lot in my life. I need victory over the beast. I know you do. I'm going through a lot in my life. Life's going to be tough on all of us. It's important that we're talking about now is our soul, trying to save our soul. So how do you save your soul? How do man save his soul? He got to hear the gospel, Acts 15 and 7. Hear and believe it. What is the gospel? The gospel, according to Paul, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. The moral brother, I declare to you the gospel, which I preached unto you, where you stand, by which also you're saved, if you keep in memory. I preached to you how did Christ die for our sin. What did he die for? Our sin. How we know? According to the scripture. So how did he die? How did he die according to the scripture? Well, he left. He had his last supper with his disciples. Then he went to the Garden of Gethsemane where he cried and asked God to let the cup pass. Blood dripped. Drips of blood fell from his head. Sweat. Sweat and blood. He left there. Judas kissed him. They arrested him. He went to trial. They couldn't find no fault with him. Pilate told him 3 times, I find no fault with the man. He stood in front before Pilate. Pilate asked him, what is truth? He was looking at truth. Just like some of y'all. Looking right at your Bible. Looking at truth. Looking at truth. He was looking right at it. Then he told him, he took the people, said, why don't y'all let me release Barabbas? No, we want Jesus. Do what to him? He said, crucify him. Crucify him. I'm just talking about how he died according to the scripture. This is the last night of his life. Last morning. They kill him. Now let's beat him up first. So Pilate scourged him, had a Roman soldier whipped him with a whip, lacerated him. Isaiah said, by his stripes are we healed. Stripes are from the blood come out of them stripes. The stripes are from the whipping. And they took him, put a crown of thorns on him, on his head. Had a vest on him. By the time he got to the top of when he got to Calvary, the vest was dipped in blood. That's how much bleeding he was doing. How much bleeding he was doing on his way to crucifixion. He was on death row. That was his last supper, his last beating. Now he's going to get killed. They drove nails in his hands and his feet. Hung him up there between those two guilty men. A man who had done no wrong. He was hanging up there because of my wrong and your wrong. That's the way he did it. Good news. That became good news. Soldier, John 16:34. He said, my Bible said, he pierced him in the side, John 18, right? He pierced him in the side. Out came blood and water. Blood and water came out of the Savior's side. That same blood and water washed your sins away if you believe in Jesus. You believe in Jesus, you get baptized, and you contact blood and water. Blood and water came out of the side of the Savior. They took him down off the tomb and buried him in Joseph's new tomb. Took him down off the cross, right? Buried him in Joseph's new tomb in early Sunday morning, on the first day of the week. The Bible don't say Sunday, it says first day. First, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh day was day he rested. That's how we got that. So it was Sunday. But we call it Sunday. The Bible calls it first day. Acts 20 and verse 7, upon the first day of the week, the disciples came together to break bread. 1 Corinthians 16:1-2, first day of the week, they took collection. Yeah, that's how we do it, right? That's why we worship on Sunday. That's why we come. That was the day of the resurrection. That's how we do the memorial. We sing, we pray. We take that collection up. We hear the preached word of God, and we don't spite the spirit. We preach what the Bible say. That's what we do in the churches of Christ. So if you're on the call today, the death, burial, and resurrection story is good news to you. He got up with power. And then he gave the command. Matthew 28:18, go teach all nations, baptizing them. That's ought to be enough for everybody. Just go get baptized. Yeah. And Mark 16:15-16, go into all the world, he said. This is a command coming from Jesus. Go into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Yeah. You got to believe and be baptized. Somebody said, well, I was already baptized and not a member of the Church of Christ. Well, you wasn't taught right. You can't read this book and teach about a Methodist church, a Baptist church, a Catholic church, Episcopal church, Pentecost. Pentecost, no, it was a day. It wasn't no church. It was a day of Pentecost. You say, well, I'm Pentecostal, but I was baptized. Well, you wasn't taught right. I'm Baptist. I was baptized as a Baptist. Well, nobody in the Bible was a Baptist. Nobody in the Bible was a Baptist. All my family was Baptist. I'm not. They're not the people. They're good people. All good people. Ain't no Baptists in the Bible. You can't get baptized in the Bible. That's some bad breath preaching right there. That is. Anybody who tell you any church you do, bad breath preaching. Anybody tell you to say they in the Baptist church, that's some bad breath. Dragon. That's the breath of the dragon. That's what the devil wants. He wants us to believe. You don't have to be in the true church to be saved. But Jesus was the one who said, I will build my church, Matthew 16:18. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. If you're on the call this morning and you want to be saved, you've heard that gospel, believe it with all of your heart, repent of your sins, confess Jesus to be the Son of God, and then we'll get you baptized this morning for the remission of your sins. If you're on the call today and you want to become a member of the Lord's church, you can be baptized. We'll make arrangements for you. All you got to do is hit 5-star on your phone. We're getting ready to sing the invitation. Let us know who you are or your name, and we'll find a place to get you baptized. We'll have somebody meet you at the building if you're here in Houston. We'll get you baptized. You don't have to worry about that. Yeah, get you baptized. You say, what about the COVID? Wear your mask, like you do when you go get groceries. Wear your mask. We can get you to the water. We can do it safely. Somebody say, well, Brother Brooks, I need to come home. I'm not ready for judgment. All you got to do is repent if you're a member of the church. Repent. Amen. Repent. Confess your fault. If you need to make confession, hit 5-star on your phone. Make that confession right now. So I'm calling those right now. This is an invitation song, brother. You're getting ready to lead us in a song. While he's singing, if you want to get baptized, you want to be a member of the true church, you want that baptism, the one true baptism. So I call you got baptized on me, you baptized right. If you end up in Church of Christ, you're not saved. You're not saved outside of Church of Christ. It's the teachings of Christ which you got to obey. And then you're not saved, you're not taking the Lord's Supper. I done told you all this. So you're on this phone, you're not doing none of that, you need to be baptized today. If you're a member of the church, you need to restore. The COVID-19 ought to get all of us wanting to get close to the Lord. Do better. Try harder. Amen. Hope you enjoyed the lesson this morning.